When was the last time that somebody listened to you? Again, when was the last time that you really felt like somebody listened very well to you? This is the question that I asked at Bible study this week, and I was taken aback by how hard people started thinking about this question. You could tell people were kind of really cataloging and going back, not just a day, but weeks, and in some cases, even months. I think many of us go a long time without really feeling like somebody has listened to us. In the Bible passage today, Mary listens to Jesus, and Jesus praises this. So I'd like to reflect with you on not just the power, but really how we become good listeners. Because again, I think listening is a dying art. And I think there's a way in which as Christians we're called to it. For Jesus praises Mary for her listening. One of the challenges of being a good listener is that we can't be distracted. We have to give somebody our time, our patience, and our focus. Today, Martha is criticized for being distracted. And if you're a distracted human 2,000 years ago, what hope do you have today? You know, everywhere we go, we're just bombarded with all sorts of stuff. I mean, even now at the gas station, right? You think you could zone out, but you're pumping gas, and right there on this screen is whether it's, you know, Ukraine or the Middle East or the price of housing or public broadcasting or this week Coldplay. Like, it's all right there. You don't ever get a break. And our lives are so fast-paced that we often just lack the time, the bandwidth, the focus to really listen to other people. But listening to someone and being a good listener isn't just simply about giving them our focus or our time. It's really about letting them set the agenda. And what I mean is that when we're doing good listening, we're not interviewing somebody. We're not trying to get something out of them. We're not trying to convince them that we're right. We're not even trying to, again, get them to kind of follow us. We're simply letting them have the stage, have the agenda. And then it becomes that kind of holy combination of knowing when to affirm and when to challenge, when to be silent, and when to offer questions. Because, again, good listening helps the other person kind of figure out what's going on in their head and their heart. And maybe it's simply just they finally have the space to just kind of get it out there. Or maybe even just kind of cry it out. So good listening takes focus, patience. It requires giving the other person the agenda. But even more than that, it requires and demands from us that we're not defensive. And if you notice in the story today, Martha isn't probing Jesus. She's not trying to defend herself. She's just listening to Jesus. And this is, I think, really hard for all of us. Because so often in a conversation, we're thinking about how we have to kind of reply, as if we're playing tennis, or even worse, kind of doing battle. And especially in conflict situations or contention, it becomes so difficult for us to really not be defensive. This week, somebody called me up on the phone, and I really wasn't ready for the phone call. And for the most of the conversation, I was trying to have the other person understand where I was coming from instead of understanding where they were. Again, I was trying to be understood instead of understanding. So after the phone call was over, I said, that was horrible. So I picked up the phone and called them back and said, hold on, I need to understand where you're coming from. Good listening requires, again, focus, patience, not seeking to manipulate the other person, not being defensive. When I start talking about what listening is, what has recalled in my mind are the words of Paul about love, that love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't boast, it's not envious. And in so many ways, listening isn't simply a love language, but it's the alphabet in which all the other love languages are written. Again, listening isn't simply a love language, but it's the alphabet in which all love languages are written. And again, I say this not as an expert, my family can attest to that, but simply to affirm for us that listening is something that Jesus praises. And what a holy moment we all experience in our lives when we feel that somebody has truly listened to us. Ultimately, though, this story isn't simply about the goodness of listening, although, again, I think you could easily make the case that listening may be the highest form of service you can do for somebody else. But it's also about listening to Jesus and Jesus' word. What does this mean to listen to Jesus? I can't, call Jesus on the phone or something. Well, the way that at least I've experienced listening to Jesus, and again, there may be different ways, but the way that I've experienced listening to Jesus is when I read or study or hear his words that he said 2,000 years ago, and by the power of the Spirit, as I hear them, they become not just simply ancient words recorded in a book, but they become the living words of our Savior, and they become the words of Jesus Christ to us. And that can again be during a sermon, it could be during a worship service, it could be during a morning devotion, it could be listening to a song on the radio, it could be looking at somebody or coworker and some poster they have on their wall, all sorts of ways in which God gets the word to us. But I think it's really about then listening to that in the Spirit and understanding that's Jesus still talking to us today. What should be obvious, though, then, just as listening to another human takes time, listening to Jesus takes time. Right? I can't walk into my house and say, okay, well, I'm tired after the day, so I have 90 seconds. Tell me what is really on the heart, everybody. I can't do that. In the same way, I can't say to Jesus, I've got 90 seconds today, so give me the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't work like that. It's more a slower process of really reflecting, focusing, and taking time then to consider, what does this mean? And so, we've all heard a story today, but my sense is that the listening is happening now. It might happen during communion. It might happen on this Tuesday morning when you're thinking about it. Again, listening to Jesus takes patience and it takes time, time that is so a struggle for us to give. Likewise, listening to Jesus requires giving our agenda over to Jesus. A lot of times you think about the Bible as a book where we can go for answers. But whenever we view the Bible like that, we're the ones with the agenda. We're the ones kind of doing the indexing and mining of what we want out of it. But I think really listening to Jesus is letting Jesus have the floor. What Jesus is choosing to reveal to us about our lives, what Jesus, in just accepting what he chooses not to reveal, where we must live in faith, listening to Jesus where he tells us to bear on, or listening to Jesus where he calls us dramatically to head in a new path. About 20 years or so ago, I walked into a church on Ash Wednesday, and I had all sorts of things on my mind that day, my job, the deadlines that were before me at work, what I was going to give up that year for Lent, this season of fasting and prayer before Easter. And as I sat down, the pastor that day talked about giving up fear. And what are we afraid of? And to give up that. And I realized what I was afraid of at that point in my life was the committee that decided whether I could become a pastor or not. That I hadn't admitted, I hadn't given my name over to that committee because I was worried about their rejection. I was afraid of that. I didn't come to church that day with that on my mind, but I left knowing what the Lord had spoken to me. Again, in life, listening to Jesus requires letting go of our own agenda and letting Jesus Christ be our Lord. Perhaps one of the toughest things, though, about listening to Jesus is to not be defensive. It's difficult because Jesus is annoyingly perfect. And so to hear Jesus' word inevitably will invite our own judgment of ourselves, which of course then is accompanied by shame and blame. But really to just open ourselves to what Jesus has to say to us. For even today, again, when he rebukes Martha in those challenging words, no, you need, Martha, you need to come and to listen. Listening to others, it's just like listening to Jesus. It requires focus. It requires giving up the agenda. It requires not being defensive. And it's really a holy work when we listen to Jesus. And frankly, it's one where we need the Spirit's power. But what then is the good news today? Am I simply giving you a little bit of a message like, you know, take more time for reading your Bibles and focusing on the word of Jesus? If so, that wouldn't be a bad message. That's the truth. But I think there's a lot of gospel here. I think there's some really good news that I want you to hear about this. The first is that, like I said, listening to Jesus takes time, time that we feel like we don't have. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ didn't defeat death to be in a rush. Jesus isn't worried about time at all. And our life is lived again, going from deadline to deadline, but Jesus is always ready with a lifeline, and Jesus is always willing to focus on us. Even though there's 8 billion other people that have problems at that moment, Jesus is able, because he's God and we're not, to focus on us and make all the time in the world. If it takes a lifetime to figure out, that's really okay with Jesus. So Jesus has time for us. And when we think about this humbling and scary act of letting Jesus have the say. When we do that, the one who we're entrusting, the one who we're listening to, isn't just simply one of many other voices that come across our screens every different 10 seconds. No, the one who is addressing us is indeed our Savior. The one who's addressing us has already chosen to give up his life for us. And the one who has chosen to take time to listen to us and to speak to us is one who has already written a new covenant in his blood. He is the one who has written your name in the book of life. And so we can trust that he has always, always our best interest, ultimately our salvation at heart. But what about that being defensive? It's so hard. And I can tell you, of course, well, don't worry about being defensive. Jesus knows all your sins anyway. But I think there's something deeper there. Part of the stress for Martha is the stress that we all feel. Like there's so much to do. And again, 2,000 years later, there's only more for us to do. And then this always kind of creates this gnawing feeling that we haven't done enough. We haven't done enough, and then underneath that all is this fundamental claim then that we not simply have not done enough, but we are not enough, and we long for a word. And so finally, Jesus is going to listen to Martha. They're going to meet again shortly after this, and they're going to meet after Martha's brother Lazarus has died. And Martha comes at Jesus with grief, with anger, with frustration, with curiosity, with hope. She comes with all of these emotions. And then Jesus says to her some of the most powerful words in Scripture. The first time she went to Jesus, she didn't get the answer she wanted, but she kept going. And finally, when she returned to Jesus, then she got the sweet words of relief and the sweet words of the gospel, and she got to hear. Imagine the first human that heard Jesus Christ say to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will not die." That's what she got to hear. And so as you keep going to Jesus, I can't promise you every time that Jesus is only going to say what you want. That's not Jesus. But finally, as we listen to Jesus, we will hear. We will hear those sweet words of life, that in him there is relief, for he is the resurrection and the life. Amen.